Thank you very much. It's good to sort of be with you and join you in worship. Question for you. How long are your sermons in this place? Well, the correct answer is too long. Too long. Well, I just turn on my sermon. I do sermons from iPad now, you notice that? No more paper now, we're now paperless. It's when the battery runs out, that's when I start panicking. There we go. Just so you know, have you heard of the latest research from the Church of England? If you go on the website, churchgrowthresearch.org.uk, I went to a launch of it in London last month with several people from this diocese, including the Archdeacon of Colchester, Ned, came with us. And it was called From Anecdote to Evidence, and it was like a three-year study as to what makes churches grow and what makes them shrink. And I had a sort of meeting with missionaries from all over the country. We meet together occasionally. And we looked at each other and said, we know what makes churches grow, we know what makes them shrink, but now we've got hard evidence. Hard evidence. This is what makes churches grow. And some things you're not surprising. Things like, if a church has a vision where they're going, they grow. If there's an emphasis on young people, an intentionality to grow. Things like that, things that are obvious. Also, you'd be interested to know that cathedrals are going through the roof. Cathedral attendance in the last 6, 7, 8 years has doubled. Doubled. People are going. Very interesting. So look at churchgrowthresearch.org.uk. I'm going to do a presentation at my own deanery in Harlow about it and see what the churches think, because it's quite clear what works and what doesn't work. So, brilliant stuff. Anyway, let's say a prayer. Well, you've prayed with me. Let's do another prayer. Then I'm going to talk about worrying, all right? We're worrying together. Father God, send your spirit upon us. Help us, Lord, to focus on your word. Help us, Lord, to focus on Jesus and his kingdom. Amen. Thank you for the readings. Thank you for the readings, folks, by the way. I've done that whole marathon from Genesis. You need the 7th day off to rest. Well, Jesus says, suddenly, don't worry. Do not worry. I once met a guy years ago who literally did that. He read the Bible and he says, Jesus says, don't worry. He said, so I'm not going to worry ever again. And he didn't. This guy did not worry. And I thought, cool, I wish I could be like that. This guy was a bit like a spiritual Mr. Spock. You know, it's just a lot of worry, therefore I will not worry again. He never did. All the years I knew this guy, nothing worried him. He said, well, Jesus says, don't worry anymore. Now, if we're honest, those of us who are human, we do worry, don't we, at times? Of course we worry. Even clergy worry. Worry about you lot. My wife's the vicar, I'm the vicar's husband. She worries about me, I worry about her. And we know we shouldn't, should we? But we do. Maybe when we're young in the faith, it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, I've just become a Christian, I believe in Jesus, it's fantastic. But go through a few decades, if you're as old as me, then we start to sort of like the adventure of faith starts to get a bit more settled, doesn't it? You know, like the adventure and the joy goes, you think. And we might even settle down for like nominal Christianity, or maybe only a Sunday only faith. Or maybe faith becomes personal. That's when someone says to me, oh no, this evangelism stuff, Charlie, forget it. Faith is a personal matter. Well, my answer to that normally is, well, somebody had to tell somebody, because why, we wouldn't be here, would we? Somebody told somebody. It can never be a personal matter. I wonder if that young man still doesn't worry, or maybe his unswerving faith has dimmed a bit over the years. Faith can go like that sometimes, can't it? We might have been a Christian for many years, but we can settle down for a safe, stable, normal Christianity. You know, I'm getting on a bit now in years. I'm a granddad. And I always pray to God, Lord, don't make me a fuddy-duddy, no matter how old I get. You know, let me be a lovely child of yours, like my grandson is. My grandson is mad. He's like a monkey. He goes to the soft play, and he loves it. He takes risks. And he says, granddad, come here, granddad, do this, do that, do that. And that's really what our faith should be like with Father God, shouldn't it? No matter how old we are. Or maybe we get hit by a sudden wave of unbelief. You ever been hit by a sudden wave of doubt? It happened to me once. I've been a Christian about 6 months. I was walking past Merland Station in Stratford. I don't know if you know that station, it's the stop before Stratford. I was walking past there, I lived in Stratford at the time. And all of a sudden I looked up to the stars and God was gone. God disappeared. So the first thing I did, I went to the phone box and rang up my girlfriend. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I've got a problem." "What's that?" "I don't believe in God anymore." And she said, "Oh, no, no, go away, go away." And she was very kind afterwards. She wrote me a letter and told me she still loved me. It was my first experience of spiritual warfare. I went to see this guy called Norman. I don't recommend doing this, folks, by the way. This is not an example of pastoral care. I said to Norman, I said, "What's the matter, child?" I said, "I don't believe in God anymore." He said, "Right." He said, "Do you want to believe in God?" I said, "Of course I do." I said, "Without faith in Jesus, life is empty. It's meaningless." That was the horrible thing I felt. When God disappeared, or so I thought, life became meaningless. He said, "Right, let me pray for you." And I don't recommend this, but he prayed that the devil would go to hell. Very nice, sensitive person. "We're going to pray the devil goes to hell." Okay? From that moment onwards, as I shut my eyes, God came back. Now, God hadn't gone. I went. Something happened in me and I lost my faith. But gradually it came back. So Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about this life. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You're going to get sick of this phrase by the end of this morning. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And the rest will follow. Seek what God our Father in heaven has got for us. More of the life of his Son. We might have been a Christian 2 weeks, or we might have been a Christian 70 years. But there's always more. There's always more. The older I get, you know, the longer I've been a Christian, there's so much more I don't know. So much more experience. A wise old Christian person once said to me, because I used to be a telephone engineer, by the way, folks, I was putting an extension in our house. Total unofficial, been an unofficial one, but I did it for a while. Said to me, "Charlie, your job is to love Jesus first of all and do what he says. And that's all. Nothing else." So I think I was telling her about, I don't know what God's got me to do, I don't know how to long stay this job, da 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 da. She said to me, "Charlie, your job is to love Jesus and do what he says and nothing more. The rest will follow. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." The more we do that, I believe, the less we're going away. We're still going to have problems. The problems don't go away. In fact, sometimes the problems increase, I find. As a Christian, problems will increase. I didn't have any problems being not a Christian. But when I become a Christian, problems seem to happen, you know. We're sort of on the winning side now. During my curacy in Chelmsford, where I had 3 young girls, and we had a really bad time as a cure. And at one point, I felt like giving up. I said to my wife, "I can't do this anymore. I'm going to give up this vicarine job, and I'm going to go back to become a telecom engineer." Come very close to doing it. It was awful. My training company said to me, out of the blue, he said, "Charlie, I've got a word from you from God." I thought, "Oh, flipping egg, go away." He said, "The word is, who told you it's going to be easy? Who told you going God's way is going to be easy? Sometimes going God's way, you walk through hell. That's the right way." We went through that storm, currently on the side. But looking back now, it's only looking back you see God at work. We was aware that God was in the storm. And my daughter, who really suffered terribly in those days, she's now grown up, working, living in London, and she said to us recently, "That was the best time of my life." I thought, what? I don't believe that. We don't know, do we? So what about all this worry we've got now? All this worry as Christians? Well, Jesus spells it out very clearly, doesn't he? That reading. We use nature. I'm spitting on the iPad here, folks. I've got something going on. He uses nature, doesn't he, as an illustration. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at the grass. Look at the wonder of nature. See your Creator God in action. And God said, "Let there be light." I'm not going to have a debate about creation this morning, but this is our God. God the Creator. See what God has done. See and understand who put all this here. And see and understand that it's no accident. People It's no accident, human beings, that we are here as well. And we are very special to God. Very special. The best evangelist I've ever heard in my life. She had a tremendous gift of saying to someone, do you know how special you are to God? You are very precious. Do you realise that? And they said, no. Well, you are. You are very special to God. Because he made you. Out of all of creation, we can know adoption as children, as sons and daughters of God. Adoption and salvation for now and for the future. We are the first fruits of the Spirit, it says. And again, that's a picture from nature. It's the best of the harvest. We are God's best. And we are people who have been set free in this world to know God, and yet we are part of this world and all it means. And that sometimes means enter into the suffering of this world. We're not exempt. We're not exempt. We're residents, but citizenship is in heaven. Citizenship is in heaven. It'd be nice, interesting to see if we're going to get Scottish passports in time to come. How about heaven passports? Kingdom of God passports. I live here, but this is my passport. This is my passport. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, says Jesus. And the kingdom is his life. It's his purpose in our lives. We follow Jesus first of all, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we feel we're losing our faith. And that's the time to cling on to Jesus. I don't get too worried if someone says to me, I'm losing my faith, I don't want to lose it. Or I'm desperate to find it again. Maybe you've been through that, I don't know. I've been through it, I've lost my faith, and it's terrible. I want this faith back, please. I do get worried when someone says to me, I'm losing my faith, and I couldn't care less about it. That's when the alarm bells start ringing and the prayer starts going, Lord, bring this person back. Bring this person. Let this man or this woman seek after you again. There's a guy who's connected to my church, and he was a tremendous man of faith. And now you talk to him and it's as if it never was. And I don't know why. And I'm praying for him. I'm saying, Father, bring this person back. Let him look for you again. It's a bit like wrestling. I'm into wrestling, folks. Not now, I'm a bit too old for it. But I used to love... Remember the old days? Mick McManus, Jackie Palo. Remember them? Yeah. John Haystacks. Yeah, the good old stuff. The old days, are sort of kicking, chucking the handbags at them. I used to love it. It's a bit like that at the time. It's like wrestling. It's like wrestling. Christian faith can be like that. We wrestle with our inadequacies. We wrestle with our sin, we wrestle in prayer, we wrestle with our emotions and our thoughts. And Romans 8 said, we groan inwardly as we live in this world, like strangers in a foreign land. We groan inwardly. It can be a struggle being a Christian, even in a cushy nation like ours. And maybe there's times that we want to call it a day. Have you ever felt you think, I've had enough, I'm tired. I've got a lovely friend called Barbara. And she's an evangelist, natural evangelist, but she's also a mum and a wife. And there are times she gets fed up with the family, she says, I've had enough, I want to go home. And they say, but you are at home, Bob. She said, no, I mean home. I want to go in there, take me, Father. She's the sort of person who walks to heaven not noticing. Do you ever feel like that? Take me now, Father God. I want the struggle to be over. I want to go now. But yet, in this seeking, this wrestling, this groaning, there should be at the back of our minds Jesus and the birds, the flowers, the fields, and the nature. Don't worry, he says. Seek the kingdom, and it will be okay. Life may be tough, life may be unbearable, life may be wonderful. But seek first his kingdom. And as sons and daughters of God, we seek his kingdom, we look for his ways in our lives. And in doing that, we receive the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God, because the life of God is in us. And this is new life of the Spirit. It's like the petrol that makes the car go, isn't it? Or the diesel or the supercharger, what you stick in your engines. It's the petrol that makes the life go. And we are the first fruits of the Spirit. Therefore, the working of God's Spirit is not some kind of optional extra. It's not some kind of Christianity plus, or it's not just the, I'll say, for the happy crabbies. I remember when I was going through training to go to a church with a different tradition, and this guy said to me, "Oh, this is Charlie, this is Charles. He's a happy crabby, you know."
Oh, yeah,
happy crabby. There's loads of funny people there. And I thought, oh man, the Spirit of God is not just for the happy crabbies. Just think, the Spirit of God that hovered over the waters at the very beginning in Genesis is the same Spirit of God who's in us, if we believe in Jesus. And St. Paul says in Ephesians, keep on being filled with the Spirit, more of God's presence, more of the life of Jesus, more of the Spirit, so that we can show the world that Jesus is for real. That's what it's all about. There's people out there. It's great to hear about the mission, the Two Rivers Mission. And I'll keep yawning, by the way. The people out there need to know, is this for real? If we believe it's for real, they say, well, if it can affect your life, can it affect my life? That's the $64,000 question. Do we desire more of this? Do we trust our Father in heaven as children? Do we seek more of his life or his Spirit? Well, are we satisfied with what we've got? I'm a Christian, I go to church, that's good enough. One of the things I do every year, I've been doing it for the last couple of years now, I go to New Wine Chapter Mallet, and we're part of a group called the Pastoral Prayer Team. If you've been to New Wine, you might have seen us. We were in that room opposite the window, and we sit there morning and afternoon, and we work hard. And people come in with problems, and we listen to them, and we pray. It's pastoral prayer. One afternoon, a young woman comes opposite me, and I said, my name's Charlie. How can I pray for you? She said, I want more. Oh, good. And I was, you know, waiting for the problem. You know, where's the problem? The problem, the problem. No. She said, I want more. I said, okay. How you doing? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I said, well, how's it been? You know, how you been here the last few days? It's been like, what's your experience? I said, it's fantastic. This is not religion. This is relationship. And I want more of it. Right. Okay. She told me she grew up in a church. Yeah, family, churchgoers. But she said for the first time in her life, she didn't know it could be relational. She didn't know this Jesus could be real. And she didn't know him personally. She said, I want more. So I just didn't want to do a priestly thing. I just prayed for her, prayed for God's blessing upon her, and she skipped out of the room with a smile on her face. Do we want more of his life? Do we want more of his life? More of his Holy Spirit? I'll never forget. Never forget, when I was at theological college, I was called Charlie the Raving Charismatic. I was not someone I was raving, I don't know why, I'm quite a normal bloke. But I'll never forget, you know, as a young Christian guy, sitting in this like youth group, I was in my 20s, and a group of like young people around me, average age about 15. One of them turned to me and said, Charlie, something is missing in your life, what is it? I said, well, I believe in Jesus. You know, he's my friend, he's my saviour. Yeah, great. Do you know the power of his Spirit in your life? I said, what are you waiting for? And these young guys stood up behind me, stuck their hands on my head, and said, Lord Jesus, fill Charlie with your Spirit. And I thought, oh, flips. I was sitting on this chair, my eyes shut, two thoughts in my head. The first thought was, what if nothing happens? What if it's just a load of rubbish? What if it's just emotionalism, that sort of stuff? The second thought in my head was, what if something does happen? What do I do? As I was thinking that, I tell you what, it's happened a long time ago now. Over 30 years ago, I just like it was yesterday. They put their hands on my head and they prayed for me, Lord Jesus, fill the Holy Spirit. And I felt this energy from the top of my head go through my face, my mouth, my head, through my body and out through my limbs. And I was completely drunk. And I heard God say to me, so clearly, I love you, I love you, I love you. Never forget it. Do we want more? I'm not talking about, and that was my experience. Each of us got different experiences. Some is quieter, some is more dramatic, but we've all got different experiences. But the main thing is that we come to God and we ask for more of his life and his Spirit in us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, said Jesus. Trust that God is our Father in heaven, who is for us in this life and forever. It helps put the worries of life into perspective, doesn't it, folks? We all need it. Can I just say in closing, be kind to yourself. When we go through things, when we go through issues, when we go through, be kind to yourself. Be honest with God. Tell him again. Then ask him to fill you with his spirit. To show you once again, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And he's with you. This is what it means to seek first his kingdom.